Brother Dewan, good evening.
Hey, Pastor.
How you doing?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I am absolutely wonderful.
That sounds great, Pastor.
Yeah, had an awesome day today.
So
God has
am
been good.
I.
It's just been an awesome, relaxing, but busy
Amen.
day. It's busy too.
Yes.
Had some clients
Hello?
and some customers come in.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And
Yes.
but at the same time, it was a very relaxing atmosphere. It wasn't,
Yes.
it wasn't
Amen.
tense.
Yes.
It wasn't people complaining. It was people actually being grateful. It was amazing. Brother
That's
Evans,
good.
God bless you. How are you?
Yes.
Wonderful driver. I'm gonna put myself on mute, but I'm here with you guys.
All
All right.
right. Awesome.
Put
Yeah, thank you for
on.
being here.
Yes.
Yep. So it's just you, myself, and brother Evans.
Yes.
Oakland, we just got
Columbus.
joined by
Good.
Lati Wilson. God bless you, brother
Hey,
Lati.
Lati.
Good.
Hey, how are you?
How's it?
Good. How are you guys?
Great, grateful, grateful. Good,
Yeah,
good,
something.
good. Yes.
I don't know. Can I share something with you guys?
Yes, go. Yeah, go
Sure.
ahead.
Yeah, we're it's just the let's see, one, two, three. It's
Yes,
just four of us right
four
now.
of us. Yep.
As people
Okay.
come in, I acknowledge them, Latif, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, my uncle and his wife, they got a divorce a year or so ago, and some stuff ended up happening and all that. And it was just something just small I found interesting, just how God works always in His ways and stuff like that. But I was talking on the phone with her this morning because I'm trying to get her to, understand that, God, is there and God's been in her life, and basically, trying to, show her a different way and let her know, like, hey, things obviously aren't working, how you originally are doing things right now. Maybe you can try God. Anyways, I was going to look for a verse, and weirdly, when I opened up my Bible app, it was exactly on the exact verse that I was looking for.
Great.
And I was just like, wow. It was like, that's crazy. I didn't have to go look. I don't know how, because I wasn't on it, but
Yeah, God's
yeah.
just got a
He
way of
deals with
doing
mysterious
things.
ways.
Yes, he does. He works in mysterious ways. Yeah, that's amazing. How did the conversation go?
It went good. I told her to, once I showed her the passage and everything, she was just like, wow. And I told her, I was like, you can call me if you want me to explain it to you a little bit more, because, I one of the big things I'm understanding as, a Christian, because I come from, a lot of, a lot of heartache, and pain in my background, and so I understand and sympathize with her on, different levels. So it's like, I didn't want her to know that she's not alone and that she's in good company, because ain't nobody on this planet, clean, and I feel like she feels like she's alone, and I'm just like, trust me, you're not alone. I'm like, you're not. So.
No, that's crazy that I'm listening, this brother Arnold. I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's crazy because I just experienced a similar situation. It started making me cry earlier because God does work in mysterious ways, and we do all, a lot of us come from a lot of pain and heartbreak and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And to just sit back now and realize I'm different at the world now that I'm not in it. You know what I mean? I can tell where a lot of stuff came from. I can tell now, like, why I went through a lot of stuff, and I was talking to somebody earlier and they were just like, just being still part of the world, and I was just telling them, like, it's just crazy that, God works in mysterious ways and you just got to be able to go through it, what was I doing to, like, stay on the journey and to stay connected, because nobody's perfect, like, perfect, but at the end of the day, I just strive not to do anything,
Same.
mentally wrong and stuff like that. And I was just telling them, like, I strive to stay connected, and I just strive to, like, put away a lot of stuff, and it just started making me cry, man, because I just felt like, like, God, prepared me to go through all that, you know what I'm saying? Because a mm-hmm. lot of people that's still in there and trying to come from up out of it looks at mm-hmm. me and like, how did mm-hmm. you do it? You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. it's just crazy, mm-hmm. man. But I'm driving and stuff. I don't want y'all to hear stuff in the background, so I'm going to put myself back on me.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's a good testimony. Someone just joined us. I sort of kind of muted them, but the
yes, this is Brother Leo. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, Brother Leo, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored by God. I am.
Yes, that's
amen.
Good. Good to hear, Brother Leo.
Yeah, good. Welcome, and we thank God for you being here. Mm-hmm. Be mindful of your background noise because I had to kind of put it on mute. I think it's just because there's. You know, you're probably around family and things like that. And so, you know, if it gets too noisy, just mute yourself. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'm going to go around the room because it's just at 5:36. We have about 4 minutes before we enter into prayer and we begin to read. We're going to be reading from Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to finish that up tonight. But I'd really like to know how everybody's week is going. And what is it that they are getting out of Bible study? Leo, I think that's your phone with the background again. Let me see. Yep, as soon as I click mute, it cuts the sound. So I'm going to go around the room, and I'll just go one at a time. I'll start with, let's start with Brother Latif. Latif, how's your week been? Latif?
Hey, sorry, Pastor. Just had to do something. How my week been? Been really good. Just, you know, kind of just more focusing on pleasing God and following His commandments and His word and stuff like that. So I kind of make a mental note in my mind to, you know, everything that I do during a day and ask myself, like, is this pleasing to God or is this not? So that's pretty much what I really been on.
Mhm. Yeah, that's powerful. Because the thing that we want to do more than anything, family, is we want to get closer to God. You don't want to drift, you want to get closer. And that requires effort. That's why the Bible says He is a reward of those who diligently seek Him. We have to seek that relationship. It doesn't just happen. You know, it's not like a storm and the rain mm-hmm. just drops on your head. It's like a ocean and you have to dive in. It's a little bit different, same water. However, there's a different way to get immersed in it. And the way you want to get immersed into the waters of God and the waters of life is you have to dive in. And you have to not be afraid to dive in. You have to not, you know, mm-hmm. hold yourself hostage all the time because you're so busy thinking about what you haven't been. In your lifetime, you have to start thinking about what you're becoming, and that is worth the battle. Mm-hmm. You know, this is worth it. I gotta keep pressing. That's why Paul mm-hmm. said we press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. It's a
Amen.
Press, it's a push. It's an effort that I'm making. It's not just happening. It's not just me standing around waiting for some water to drop on me, and there you go, I'm anointed. Praise the Lord. Now I can go out and do all kind mm-hmm. of wonderful things in the name of the Lord. It's a press. And the harder you press, the more sincerely you press, and the more you learn not to hold things against yourself, the faster you'll get there, right? And the not holding things against ourselves, that's the biggest part of it. And that's why we were reading Romans, the 8th chapter, there's now therefore no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus. I have to know, even when I make mistakes, I'm still in them. Even if I mess up, I'm still in Him. Even if I didn't do it right today, I've got tomorrow. I'm still in Him. And I have to press through those moments in my life to not sit back and beat myself up and condemn myself so that I start moving backwards from Christ instead of moving closer. Right? Everybody got that? So, Leo, how was your, anything specific in your week? Did anybody see God do anything in their week?
Well, I've seen God do some things. God is actually showing me who I am and who I was versus who I was. And I'm realizing that the people who I've dealt with in my life, they don't know that I've changed and that they have to see that I've changed. And so I've been dealing with issues about people dealing with me on the man I used to be and not the man who I've become in Christ. And
amen.
I mean, I've been through, I want to say the miry clay, but last week when we talked about the gifts, the talents that God gave to the three servants, and I was very much the man, the servant who hears his talent, and then God took it away from me. But now he's restoring that, and I see the restoration in progress. It's not a full restoration because it's a very slow and gradual restoration. I mean, he took away my ability to sing, my ability to make music, my ability to think strategically to the point where I couldn't even tell my hands what to do with my mind. And so those things became very, very near dear to my heart. And I realize now that this is all a blessing because it could be taken away just in the twinkling of an eye. And when you don't have the things that you used to have in after 50 years of living, and then they're gone, you feel like a fraction of the person who you were. So you're more grateful. I'm more grateful for the things God do for me. I'm grateful when God wakes me up in the morning. I'm grateful to be able to breathe on my own with my involuntary muscles just breathing and my heart beating, because at one point I couldn't operate any of my voluntary muscles. So that's what I've been dealing with, the change that God is bringing in me and the growth He's restoring in me.
I wanted to say what you were just saying, Apostle, about just pressing through it and not beating yourself up about it, you know, and not drift too, because I've noticed a lot of that, like on this walk, you know, and it seems like that, though, like you can't drift, but you gotta like press through it, you know what I mean, and deeply seek Him, and you gotta like really want this, though, like. I feel like if you don't want this, then you're not going to do it. Then you're going to find yourself drifting. You know, you're going to find yourself going backwards. You know? But if you want a change, you know what I'm saying, and you just keep pressing, you know, and knowing that, you know, you're looking for this better person that's better than you, you know, and you just kind of prove yourself wrong and, you know, just keep striving. I feel like that's what it is. So I agree with you 100% on that, for real. All these guys are talking a lot of stuff I've been experiencing, so it's like, man, I'm just sitting back listening to you.
Praise God. Thank you, Arnold. That was powerful. Very, very powerful. And we might touch on some of that as we go through tonight's scripture. We're going to be reading from the Romans, the 8th chapter, everyone. Please grab your Bibles. We also had some people to join us. We've got someone from LaGrange. I think that's Sister Donna.
Yes, it is. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the
Hello.
Lord.
Praise Amen. Hey, Donna.
God bless you, Donna.
Thank you.
Yep. And then we also have someone with a Cedar Rapids phone number or an Iowa phone number. I can't see the name, but please acknowledge yourself.
Hi, everyone. It's Sister Olga.
This is Olga.
Hey, Sister Olga.
Hi, Sister Olga.
How are y'all doing today?
I'm blessed today.
I'm good.
Amen.
Happy. Joyful.
Amen.
I'm joyful. Yes.
Praise God. All right. So we've done the introductions. Everybody's heard everybody's voice. Let us begin with opening prayer, and then we're going to go to the book of Romans. We're going to read through the 8th chapter. We're going to review the 7th chapter for those of us that were here last week. I'm going to ask you, what did you get out of last week's study? Because I thought the last week's study was very meaningful. I thought it was very, in fact, we preached on it on Sunday. But I think it's very meaningful, especially for younger believers, to know that there is now, therefore, no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus. Really get that and understand that you can still be in the spirit and be acting in the flesh. That those two things can coexist together. And that's what Paul was talking about. And I'm going to talk about the reason that he brought that up. And we'll touch on that in a second. But let's begin with opening prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Arnold if you would be kind enough to open us up in prayer, sir.
Yes, sir. Father God, I come before you today, Lord God. Thank you for a new day, Father God.
Yes, God.
everybody that's on this line right now, Father God, all the people that not even here right now, Lord God, on their way, Lord God, we thank you for everything. I ask, Lord God, that you open up our hearts and our ears, Father God, that you give us a word that you want us to receive, Father God. Give us revelation for what we need to receive in our life, Father God. This I ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody go to Romans, the 8th chapter, please.
Amen. I'm there.
Let me know when you're there.
Amen.
One amen. I got two. Praise the Lord. Can I get three? Can I get four?
I'm driving to you.
All right, that's all right, Arnold. All right, you're driving. Anybody else? Everybody else got their word. Please say you do.
Got my word. Yes, getting
I do, but that's in my situation. Yep.
Yes, sir. We understand. Mm-hmm. All right, that's enough. All right, so here we go. So let's review someone else. This Brother Waller, my God, look at you. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way home.
Yeah, I know. I got your text message.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to make it, but I made it. I'm on my way home. I'll be able to speak in a minute. I don't want to keep up a bunch of noise. About 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right, brother. Hallelujah. We're glad to hear your voice. So we're reviewing everyone. I want to review a little bit about 7 into 8. We read, we started off last week with chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then we read on. But do we remember verse chapter 7, where Paul talked about those things that I would do, I find myself not doing. Those things that I want to do, those are the things that I end up not doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Oh, but I found something, I discovered something, I got a revelation. And the revelation he talked about was the one that he got in verse 23. 7:23 says, but I see that there's another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I find myself sometimes serving the law of sin. Right? What do we think Paul is talking about as we read on? Because chapter 8 is going to make more sense if we really get what's happening in 7. And I'll open up the floor for comments. What is he talking about? Those things that I would do, I find myself not doing those things. What would I do, I do. Anybody want to take a shot at that?
From what I remember a little bit, he meant like the things that he would not do as far as like doing something bad. And I remember him saying like, but it's not him or something that's doing it. It's the sin that's doing him.
The sin that's still in my flesh. Yes, sir. Yeah, you're right on it. He's talking about the sin that was still in my flesh. So he found that there was a revelational law that he had gotten out of it, and that was that I can still be serving God, and yet once in a while find myself having slipped and done the wrong thing in my life. I can still be serving God and have a moment where I just curse somebody out. Because that's a big problem for believers when we sit back and go, well, if I love the Lord this much, how can I curse that person out like that? Right? How could I just talk to my kids like that? But I know I love the Lord and I walk around feeling condemned, beating myself up, when he's really saying, no, you just made a mistake and you need to learn how to live with and grow beyond the mistake. Grow beyond the mistake. Don't rest in the mistake. Grow beyond it, right? So again, I'm opening this up. Have you experienced that? And then I want to talk about why Paul talks about it. Has anybody experienced that? That you know that you love the Lord? Go ahead.
I experienced it, and that's what that brother was saying earlier when he was like, you know, I try to make sure I'm living life right and make sure that I'm doing good. Like, what's this of God? You know, we can slip up and do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have slip-ups where I, like, spaz out on a person. Like, why would they say that? You know what I'm saying? But it's, like, I have to remember, like, no, that's not you no more. Like, you got to stop doing it. I just had a moment like that a few days ago. Like, you got to really stop doing that. And I went back to that person and apologized. Not for them.
Hallelujah.
We're doing that.
Wait.
I apologize.
You just shot past a very important point. You went back to the person and did what?
And apologize.
Praise the Lord. Right?
Amen.
I went back and apologized. Right? And so it becomes very important as believers, in order to keep Satan from holding condemnation over you, you need to release yourself from the condemnation. That's fine to go back and make amends to the person wherever possible, except when to make those amends cause more hurt than to not make it. Did everybody hear that?
I heard it.
I heard it.
I need to be willing to go back and make amends. I can say I'm sorry. As an example, if I borrow some money from somebody, right, and I didn't pay that money back, I've been owing it to them for the last 10 years. And then I want to act like when I see them, I don't even know what you're talking about, the $20. What $20, right?
Yeah.
But we know deep down inside, I owe that to him. I'm a believer now. I want to do something about it, but I don't know how to do it. Well, I can always send them a letter with $20 in it. I don't have to put my name on it. I don't have to get it back to me. I could send that, and the minute that I send that, I release myself from a debt.
Yes.
Did everybody hear that part?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I release myself from a debt that is going to, if I don't release myself from it, the debt's going to follow me all through my life.
Right.
Got it? And I'm going to show you why that's so. Everybody turn real quick to Matthew, the 6th chapter. I want you to see this. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
See, sin is more than just a mistake. It's a debt. And a debt, just like if you take your credit cards and you go out and you buy some stuff on your credit card, you know, you can sit back and not pay for it if you want to, but the debt follows you through your life on a credit report.
Mm-hmm.
On a report. So when you go into the, and with some interest, praise the Lord, Divine. And there might be some interest on it. And so God wants us to get rid of debt. And I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Matthew, the 6th chapter. Right? Let's go to... Okay, verse 6-9.
Amen.
And I'm going to redo it real quick. Here is the prayer he gave to the disciples, the apostles, the people that's going to follow behind him. That's us also. And he gave us this prayer. We talked about this before, but I want us to pay a close attention to the word trespass, because when you see this word trespass, you go look it up in the Greek, the Hebrew, you'll find that word means a debt. It's something owed to somebody. So watch what he says, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, holy be thy name, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right? The two are intertwined. In the earth has to be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our what? Our
trespasses.
Yep. Mine says forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we won't be led into temptation, but you'll deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he goes on, verse 14, most important thing. If you forgive men their debts,
your heavenly Father will also forgive your debt. But if you forgive not men their debt or trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. Right? So knowing how to make amends is very important in the kingdom. Now, there are some people that you could go back to right now today and say, hey, I'm sorry for the person that I've been, and they'll cuss you out. But there are some people you'll go back to, and you'll say, you know, I'm now, like Arnold just said, and it was very powerful what Arnold shared with us. He said, I now know why some of these things were happening in my life, because of my mentality, because of the way I was seeing the world around me, and I was creating a lot of the debt that was in my own life. And so it's important that we begin to realize I can go back and clean that debt up with an apology. If I owe anybody, your Bible says, owe no man but the loving. I can now start paying that. Now, maybe I owe $10,000 and I got 2 cents. I owe $10,000 and I only got 2 cents right now. But I can give them one of those pennies. And the next time I get 2 pennies, give them one. And the next time I get 2 pennies, I give them one. And then next thing you know, I have $10, I'll give them five. And then the next thing, until I can eventually, and even if I never pay off that debt, I have secured myself with God by being willing to pay off the debt. Mm-hmm. Did I get that?
Yeah, I get it.
The fact that I made a decision that it was my debt shows that I've grown as a person, because I can now accept that I was the one that messed that up. I bought that car, I tore it up, and then I chose not to pay for it. I bought the car. I went around and had a whole lot of fun, forgot I needed to have a job to pay for the car, and then I never paid these people. As the body of Christ, right, I need to learn how to clean up what I messed up.
Yes. Amen.
Clean up what I messed up. And when I start thinking like that, then verse 8:1 automatically kicks into my life. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Now, why did Paul talk to us about this? I want to talk about the one thing that Satan can use against us that God was trying to use for us, and it becomes a tremendous dividing line. And I want you to go back to Romans, the 7th chapter, and I want you to look at this word in the 8th verse.
6 or 8.
Yep, 7th chapter, 8th verse. Hey, Sister Virginia, God bless you.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes.
Okay, 7th chapter?
Amen. Covetousness.
He uses a different word. It's called concupiscence. Verse 8th verse, 7th chapter, 8th verse. But sin taketh occasion by the commandment, worked in me all manners of concupiscence, which is typically more related to immoral sexual behavior. Immoral sexual behavior. Everybody got that?
Okay.
All right. So Paul brings up this word because, and I don't know for sure, I wasn't there, of course, but I believe Paul was dealing with some immoral sexual behavior. That's so he brings up concupiscence. Well, so why though? And why does he bring it up? Because one of the most important things in our life is human touch. Other than Jesus Christ and our relationship with him, one of the most driving forces in our life is human touch, human interaction, human relationships. Most of us historically have messed up most of those human relationships. We got into some stuff with them.
Systematically. Right.
Systematically. Right. Now watch where I'm giving it a go. When you come into Christ, then we have this whole new mindset that we're dealing with about human behavior and human touch. And so now we know I'm not supposed to fornicate. So that becomes a difficulty. We know, well, I can't just go sleeping with anybody and everybody. Because that is pleasing to God. Right?
So for real, that's talking about it, you can't just do that type of stuff. And a lot of people don't like to honor that, but that's one of the things I definitely like to honor. I feel like you get disconnected from God, you know what I'm saying, when you like doing self-consciously, like when you intentionally doing that, and like everybody do it, because we all, like what you said, we're going for that, especially when you was of the world. But nowadays, I like to be like, no, that's not my wife. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, that's not genetic. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't play that type of stuff.
No, I feel like that when people lay down together, they become one flesh. So all of the demons and spirits that's in that other person, they now become my demons and spirits.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you right there. Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, you become one with that person. So I don't believe that everybody do it. So
right. Mm-hmm. And so now let's talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. So and that's absolutely correct. The Bible says the twain become one flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marriage in the Bible, a marriage from what is called a covenant marriage. Mm-hmm. There's two types of marriage. There's two types of relationship. One is a covenant relationship that I got married before God, because if you go back to the book of Genesis, they didn't have preachers. They did not have, they didn't have bridesmaids. They didn't have all that stuff taking place. And you never saw any place in the beginning of the Bible where they talked about, and the pastor pronounced a man and wife. You don't see any place where it says God pronounced a man and wife.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they had an understanding about life that we don't have today. And that is, they understood a covenant relationship starts with sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It ends with a commitment to be with someone for the rest of your life. Starts with sex. How do I know that? Go to Genesis, and then we'll get back to Romans. Go to the book of Genesis, and let's go to the third chapter. Might be the fourth chapter or the third. I'll find it for you, though. So a covenant relationship, that is when a man makes an honorable statement before God and before people that this is going to be my wife. And then the minute, everybody got Genesis? Fourth chapter. I said three.
Amen.
Fourth chapter, first verse.
Amen.
I want you to see this. Amen. We're going to learn something today. Praise the Lord. Right? Here we go. Watch what he says. It says very clearly, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. See that?
Amen.
All right. The word knew in this particular scripture means he had sex. And you know it means he had sex because it said they conceived, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to have an etymological degree to get the point, right? Adam knew his wife Eve, and then they conceived. They had children, right? So now watch this. So in order for two human beings to come together and have physical relationships, sex as we call it, right? Blood has to flow from the heart of the male into his erectile. Blood is flowing, right? There's desire, but there's blood flowing. And when that blood flows, it creates the erection, right? Now watch what I'm going to say. When God created woman, he created women so that they would be virgins. It's not like it is today. It wasn't like it was today. It wasn't, it's never supposed to have been where you didn't have sex with Joe, Jack, Mike, Bob, Philip, Tony, Peter, and so forth and so on. Wasn't meant to be like that. So so if the woman was a virgin, whenever whenever there was copulation or sexual relationship, the man would break the woman's hymen. He would bleed. So that is blood meeting blood. And a covenant relationship means blood has been shed for the relationship. That's why Jesus is our blood covenant relationship. Blood has been shed for the relationship. And anything that God does, he does in a blood covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody getting that?
I got that.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So a blood covenant takes place. So that is supposed to be what a relationship is. Now, let's flip back and travel through time and come back to where we are today. Well, many of us have been through fornication because we didn't understand what a covenant marriage was. Now, okay, so what is marriage today? Marriage today is what Moses brought in with the law. God told Moses, hey, write papers of marriage and papers of divorcement for people. Why? Because people started gathering and accumulating goods. So when they came out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt rich. When they got into the desert, God started to giving them laws in order to have them to operate in a decent and organized manner that was acceptable to God as being their God. And so people started to write papers for marriage. They took on religious ceremonies for marriage. Marriage became so prevalent and so important that half the marriages were selected by the parents, because they want you to marry somebody from your own village that knew your rules and your laws about God so that they would function together well, because they didn't want them unequally yoked. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Makes sense, and now you understand why your Bible says that. Be ye not unequally yoked, a believer with a non-believer. Okay? So now, here we are in 2025, where sex is so much a part of what we do, that it's just normal. Even though it's unholy,
it's casual.
It's normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's casual. Means nothing to anybody. Babies are left behind, right? Babies are suffering, and that's why we see so much death, despair, tragedy in our community, because we have people who don't understand what a covenant relationship is. A covenant relationship is the same thing that Jesus says to us, and we're going to read that as we go down Romans, when he says these words: neither death nor life can separate us, not even angels, not sin, not sickness, anything that you've done, it ain't going to separate me from you. What can separate us from the love of God, right? So that's a covenant relationship, because I'm committed to it for the rest of my life. Everybody got that?
Amen.
The greatest part of this covenant relationship we're in is not so much your commitment, but it's Jesus' commitment to you. And that's why Satan does everything he can to make you feel condemned. And I'm going to talk about the relationship part in a minute. That's why Satan does everything he can to make you feel condemned as a human being, because since Jesus can't walk away from you, it becomes important to Satan to make you walk away from him.
Amen.
I'm going to let you roast on that for a minute. It becomes imperative to Satan, because he knows these laws and rules that Christ has set and established. He knows I can't make Christ walk away from the people, but if I can make the person walk away from Christ.
Wow. That's good.
I just divorced a covenant relationship.
Yeah.
Now, so Paul talks about concupiscence. And watch what I'm getting ready to say to you. It's important to know that if you don't understand relationships and you have to press down what is naturally given to you, which is be fruitful and multiply. That's what he said to Adam. Be fruitful, multiply. The fruitful part is the need for human touch. It's a strong desire that lives inside of us. It is there all the time. It peaks up and peaks out. Every time we leave out the house, we see people walking down the street and kind of go, I wonder what it would be like to be with that person. That's how strong it is. Anybody listening? I wonder if I had this person, would my life be better? So forth and so on. Because it's such a strong desire. However, if you begin to understand that it's supposed to be a covenant desire, then you stop looking at the people and you start looking at the spirit of the people, because you want to match your spirit up with their spirit.
Their spirit, yeah.
Their character.
Yeah, so because my character needs to stay intact with God, and I don't want something that's going to separate me from the love of God because I fell in love with somebody that don't have the same love for him.
Yeah. And I believe in
him. Right.
Yes. Amen. We got that, right?
Yes, man.
So human touch, the desire, the need for relationship is very, very big inside of us. It's very normal. What we haven't understood is the difference between covenant normalcy and institutional normality. Well, what is institutional? I can get in it. This is what God gave to Moses. If the people don't get along, let them get a divorce. Institutional. If they don't get along, write them some papers of divorce, split their stuff up, whatever goods they have, give a woman half, give a man half, and send them on their way. And so we've learned institutional thinking rather than covenant thinking. And so that's why we get into relationships, and if they don't get along, we're out of here.
That's easy way out. Easy way out.
We take the easy way. If the person didn't make me breakfast and I don't feel good about that, well, I'm going to be mad all day. I might not even talk to them for 2-3 weeks. And then all of a sudden the relationship falls apart. And there you go. I'm out of here.
Oh, man.
And God is saying, you can no longer, as a believer, enter into those types of relationships. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everything that you're doing now, because you are a covenant child. Somebody say, I'm a covenant child.
I'm a covenant child.
Because you are a covenant child, has to be done under covenant thinking. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Covenant thinking. When I have covenant thinking, I don't sit back and get pleased or displeased because my wife acts a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm no longer pleased nor displeased.
Yeah.
Under covenant thinking, I understand my responsibility is to learn how to get along with that person for the rest of my life. And that could take the rest of my life. Glory to God. We're going to read in the morning. That could take the rest of my life to learn how to get along with somebody as a life partner.
Yes.
But as long as I have an institutional mentality that as soon as it don't work, I'm out of here. Well, I'm giving Satan preeminence in my life. So Jesus comes along later and says, I fulfilled the law. That don't work no more. Here's what he said. He said, listen, other than that person getting up and leaving you as a non-believer, and they get up and leave you, you're under no more obligation to them. Or if you catch that person cheating, if you catch them sleeping with the enemy,
and
you got a right to walk away from them, that is the only thing he gave us.
Everybody
listening?
Amen.
So let's go back to why Paul gives us this word concupiscence. Because Paul is dealing with a circumstance of saying, I have a need for human touch. I have a need for human interaction, right?
Yeah, right.
And he's saying, I made some mistakes. I actually got involved with some human interaction, and it didn't work out so good. However, that's why some of those things that I would not do, I found myself doing. The things that I wanted to do, I didn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then he finally gets to a place in his growth as a believer that he recognizes, oh, I can just repent, make amends, and there is now therefore no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. It flows together perfectly.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
It does.
All right.
Yeah.
So he gets us to this place, right? We're back in Romans 8, right? So he gets us to this place. And then he starts talking about our behaviors and how we have to see ourselves. Because even though you can make a mistake, even as a believer, and it's not often you'll hear preachers talk like this, but even as a believer, you can make a mistake.
Yeah.
even while you're saved, you can end up in the bed with somebody. Amen.
Amen.
We might as well talk about that stuff because some of us are doing it anyway. We just don't talk about it. You just don't bring that up. Oh, Lord. You don't want to feel condemned. But Paul is trying to tell you, you don't have to feel condemned. You have to know the difference between covenant. Now watch what I'm getting ready to say. This is going to be mind-boggling. If you understand covenant relationship, even if you didn't institutionally get married in front of the judge, in front of the preacher, in front of somebody else, if you understand a covenant relationship and you with that person for the rest of your life and you have dedicated your life to that person, you have been married before God.
Amen.
I hope I get some believers on the phone with me tonight. You're still married before God.
Amen.
You're still shacking.
And as long as you don't walk away from that relationship or turn on the person or want to beat the person, rule over the person, reign over the person, think you Jesus in their life and so forth and so on, God will honor that relationship. You'll still progress in the relationship, and you'll still see blessings coming, and you'll be thinking, oh, well, I didn't get married to this person, but yet I still see these blessings. Maybe I don't have to worry about the Bible. No, it's still the Bible being true.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible is still going to be true because the Word of God is the Word of God. It's a principle, and it's going to work. No matter whether you know that you're working it or not, it is still going to work.
Yes.
Amen. Right? So now let's talk. Now let's move on to Romans, and let's continue to read. Everybody ready?
Yes, ready, man.
I think we've got a good foundation, right? So here we go. We left off last week at about 13. Actually, let's start at 11. And I'm going to ask who wants to read, please.
Okay. Go for it.
We can switch if you
want to
read.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're saying is even if you're not married to that person, you're still going to be blessed if you're not married as I under the law?
Great question. You can be still blessed if you understand what marriage really is before God, right? Because if you don't understand what marriage is before God, you're into institutional thinking and not covenant thinking. And institutional thinking is, this is only going to be good as long as it's good to me. That's institutional thinking. As long as it's good to me, I'm okay with the person. Oh, but let them not work. And see how I feel about them. Let them not pay their half on the bills and see what happens. Right? So watch what I'm going to say. So how do we narrow that down to make it make some sense? Because it sounds like we're saying, yes, I can be in any kind of relationship and it's still a blessed relationship. No.
No, that's not what you're saying. You're saying that if you know the understanding of a covenant relationship as far as God and you not living carnal, you know what I mean? And by you living carnal, you know, and thinking negative in a relationship, then you're not going to get blessed in that. By you living like how God likes, doing things that God will want you to do, while you in this relationship dedicated to that one person, y'all going to be blessed. Y'all can't be just, I'm over here, over there. You got to be with that person to like it.
And if you've been with that person for a minute, he was saying also, you've been with that person for years, then that is also blessed because God sees that as you've been with this person for years, even though you guys haven't legally married through the court, you're married by Christ.
It's hallelujah. Oh, my God. Everybody get that?
Amen.
How do I know?
So you don't have to be legally married.
Not
well,
before
you are
man. Now watch what Christ said, though. Listen to what Christ said. Christ says this. You must follow the laws of the land. So Christ introduces another piece into the covenant. So he's saying, eventually, you want to follow the law of the land. The law of the land says, and here's why he said it. 5 years from now, something happens. God forbid, my partner dies. I have no rights to the things that both my partner and I have accumulated because there's no paperwork that says that belongs to me too.
Yeah. Right.
You get it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now let's go back to what Moses did. When God had Moses to write laws of marriage, papers for marriage, it was because they had lots of stuff. And in those days, a woman could not own property.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that property would get to her hands and her children is under those two conditions. If she had papers and she had children. That's why a woman was considered to be willful in those days if she had no children and her husband died because she couldn't work. There was a law in the land. Women didn't work.
Amen.
Not wage earning jobs. They were housekeepers. They were parents. They may have tended the field, but they could not get a legal job.
Yes.
So a woman who lost, this is why he talks about that in the book of Ruth when he talks about Naomi, and Naomi not only lost her husband, she ended up losing her two boys. Everybody know that scripture?
That's my answer.
And she says, change my name from Naomi to a name that means woeful because I'm now a woeful woman. And she told the two girls, you ain't no sense in y'all staying with me because I can't produce another child. And if I can't produce another child, even if I could, by the time he grew up, you'd be too old to marry him. So y'all messed up too.
Oh.
Praise the Lord.
But Ruth.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Right?
But Ruth is awesome.
So she says, don't call me Naomi, call me Maora. I went from Naomi means I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. She goes and says, no, call me Mara, which means I'm woeful.
Amen.
So the covenant is now broken.
Amen.
Watch what I'm getting ready to say now. The covenant is now broken. He says, call me woeful. And when we do not understand the covenant relationship and we enter into an institutional relationship, we leave behind children and the wife and the mother is woeful. We leave behind financial stress on people, and they're now woeful. Anybody catching the connection? That we leave them in dire circumstances. They're now outbidding food stamps, and they're now woeful when they should have had a provider covering around them. Now I'm over here woeful. Not only did I make a woeful, Jesus said that any woman that's married to a man, and we saw this in Romans, the 7th chapter, that it's like a husband, and the woman is married to the husband, and she leaves and goes to get with another man, she's an adulterer for the rest of her life. Well, why is he saying that? Because no matter who that woman gets with after you've left her with the babies, or we've left them with some babies, no matter who she gets with, it's still woeful for her. Why? Because that man is very rarely going to see those kids as being his.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going to love them right. He's not going to provide for them well. So she still has issues, and she's still looking for the right man, and it makes her an adulteress for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening?
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so our responsibility is to understand what covenant is about. That's why he talks about this concupiscence thing. Because when you suppress, watch this, when you suppress the natural need for human relationships and male-female relationship, you suppress that thing, it begins to produce an inordinate relationship, which ends up being all kinds of sexual promiscuities.
Amen.
Anybody listening?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Now I ain't looking for a wife. I'm just looking for somebody to sleep with tonight. That's inordinate.
Mm-hmm. What if you ain't looking for nobody, period?
Mm-hmm. Or you ain't looking for nobody, period, no more. And now, right. And now you're dealing with a whole different level of stuff, unless you really know how to be a eunuch under the Lord. Now, everybody know what a eunuch is?
No.
More like a nun.
More like a what?
I say more like a nun. Nothing.
All right, we're going to read this. All right, some made of themselves eunuch. Jesus talked about it. It's mind-boggling. Somebody spell eunuch. U-N-R-Q.
No, E-U-N. It's called E-U-N.
E-U-N, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Turn to it. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
This has gotten the Catholic Church, and let me not say the Catholic Church, the Catholic priests, in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This scripture, Matthew 19.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody learning anything tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. 19, let's start at verse, I think it's at verse 12.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's 19, verse 12. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. Now, let me tell you what a eunuch is exactly. A eunuch is typically, you find them in harems, and the kings assign them to take care of their harem. But before they assign them to take care of the harem, the king selects a man, cuts out his scrotum, cuts out all of his libido, since the man has no desire for sexual encounter. Most of them would grow and become very strong and very healthy because all of that energy that gets expended in a relationship is now being refocused back into his body, so the majority of them look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Right? Watch what he says. He says, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. Now, I believe what the Lord was trying to explain about is that there are some people who just don't have a natural tendency and desire for the relationship. They were born this way. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. Everybody see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, can we mute our phones, though, because it's hard to hear?
Yeah, all the background noise.
Yeah, let me see if I can find where that's coming from.
Let me just mute mine.
It's better. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Whoever took care of that, thank you. And then he goes on to say this, and then he says, and there have some who made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake.
Yes.
In other words, they made a decision, I'm dedicating my life to God.
Yes, amen.
Paul even talks about it in the book of Acts, and he talks about how better that a man don't have a wife. Book of Corinthians, you'll see. Better that a man don't have a wife, because he can then fully serve God, or that the woman don't have a husband, she can fully serve God. And I said, that's what's gotten the whole, a lot of Catholic priests in trouble. Watch where I'm going now, concupiscence. It's got them in trouble. Why? Because a lot of people have been suppressing. It's not natural for them. They were suppressing the natural desire to be fruitful and multiply. So what happened? It came out as an inordinate affection, and then men start turning towards kids.
No good.
Because it's not natural.
Is that how they did start doing that?
Yep.
Yes, sir. That is the spiritual reason that is happening. Even if they don't know it, I know it. It's the spiritual reason that is happening.
Yes.
Right? Now, watch it. Let's talk about the need for human touch for a moment. the need for human touch and human relationship does not always culminate in sex.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got the right relationship, it will, it may matter to you whether you have mm-hmm. sex or not, but it won't stop the love from flowing in such an amazing way, because it's such a holy relationship to be in love with somebody based on, one, I care for you, and two, I understand what a covenant relationship is with you. I'm going to do right by you. I don't care what happens.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody. We're talking about some stuff tonight.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. My mind has stayed on you. I may have some times when my mind floats off to somebody else, but oh, do I know how to repent and come back to you, because I'm in a covenant relationship and ain't nothing going to separate that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Amen.
But if I don't have someone to have that covenant, oh, come on, Holy Ghost, help us. If I don't have someone that I can have a covenant level relationship, in other words, I'm willing to bleed for you, baby. If I have to give my life for you, I'm willing to do it. That's covenant. That's what Jesus did. If I had to die for you, I'm going to die for you. Now watch what I'm getting ready to say. If I had to die for you, now we ain't talking about somebody go take me and nail me on the cross for you. I'm talking about this kind of die for. If I have to work my fingers to a bone to make sure you're okay, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
If I have to get up at 6, and I hate being up at 6, to make sure that you got what you need, there's food on the table, the rent's paid, you've got the safety, the security of this covenant relationship, I'm going to do it. I don't have to think about it. I'm not sitting back wondering. I'm not fretting it. I'm not sweating it. I'm not getting up and going, man, I need to get away from this woman because I'm working way too hard. I need somebody to take. When you're in a covenant relationship, it does not depend on sex.
No. At all.
Amen.
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 A covenant relationship depends on the covenant. I am dedicated to you. I can sit back and watch you and learn from you. I can appreciate you because I see your effort and energy not to have sex with me, but to be in the same covenant mindset with me.
Yep.
Oh, God. And so many relationships are failing because it's not in a covenant mindset. It is in an institutional mindset. It works for as long as it works. The minute you do something I don't like, I'm out of here.
Yep.
And so I never get the pleasure of relaxing and living with the person. I never get to know them because I'm still waiting for them to make the next mistake that allows me to go.
I was going to think about that earlier. People leave relationships too fast, for real, and they don't try to like work stuff out. We always be so quick to go to the next. And some, most people like us, because we yearn for touch, it be based around sex. So sometimes, you know what I'm saying, in my past relationships, you know, it was like that. And I never really took the time to get to know a person and know who they was, and you know what I'm saying, enjoy life with them as who they is without it just being based around sex, you know? And I didn't start really feeling like that and understanding that until I got out of the world and just started doing things of God. So you're definitely on point with what you're talking about.
Talk to me, man of God. Hallelujah.
For real.
Anybody hear what I'm saying? Anybody have questions about this?
Hey, Pastor, I got something on that. You also got to take in consideration, too, you know, there are certain traumas and defense mechanisms that a lot of people have that play against them in relationships, too, due to some type of trauma in the past. Maybe they push that person away because they don't want to be hurt themselves. There's a lot of factors that come into that, not just the sexual aspect, but the aspect of like, hey, all right, you're going to make my life hard and stuff like that. My life's been hard enough, or my mom or my dad or whomever did that to me. Let me hurry up and get out of this because I don't want to feel any more pain or anything that's familiar.
Mm-hmm. People will do that.
Absolutely.
A lot of people will do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That goes back to you being a generous person too, though. Like sometimes, and a lot of times we don't be wanting to understand people because we be so into ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like I done went through the cooking thing. Oh, you don't cook for me. I'm angry. You know what I'm saying? But the apostle told me a few times, like, you can cook for yourself. You know what I'm saying? And when you really take yourself
out of the picture like that and start thinking like that, like, yeah, I do cook. You know what I'm saying? And then it don't even bother you anymore. A lot of times we be having to check ourselves, but people do be hurt behind stuff, you know what I'm saying? And you don't want to go through that and then cause a person not to be in a relationship with them because you got all type of trauma, but we always messed up, though. But being generous like how we is now within God and knowing that everybody, we got to try to understand people a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Not dealing with everything. Don't just lay down and be a step stool, you know what I'm saying? A step over, you know what I'm saying? But understand you was messed up at one point. And you know what I'm saying? And just, that's what I'm starting to realize, though, like, for real. Like, just definitely on point.
Self-reflection.
Mm-hmm. Self-reflection. There you go, Brother DeJuan. Now, let's talk about that part, and then we'll go back to Romans and we'll read. But let's talk about that for a moment, because we're not talking about the world, and there's the part that you have to compartmentalize. I don't have to compartmentalize you as a person as much as I need to compartmentalize whether you're in the world and I'm not. Let me try that again. If I compartmentalize you, I'm thinking about what you don't do, how you do it, when you do it, did you do it when I needed it? I'm compartmentalizing you. If I compartmentalize myself, I'm saying to myself, I'm not in the world, and now I'm happy that I'm delivered from those things. And so I'm not really walking in all that past hurt. It's you that's walking in that past hurt, and you have to learn how to get over that yourself. And while you're trying to get over it, I'm over here getting over, because I'm over here doing what God told me to do. See, as a believer, I'm supposed to walk away from that hurt. That's why Jesus said, if you don't forgive people their trespasses, how am I supposed to forgive yours? And so I got to let go of every pain. I don't care who did it. I don't care what her name was. I don't care how cute she was. I don't care how many men she slept with. And I got embarrassed by her because all my buddies knew she was sleeping with them. And I was the only oop-de-doop in the community because everybody else was laughing at me behind my back. When you think about even those types of feelings, all God is trying to show you is you had a pride issue. I had a person talk to me the other day, and this is a man of God, and he's a professor at a university, and he was telling me how he had been talking to his daughter, and his daughter still hasn't gotten over the man that cheated on her. He's a professor and a man of God, and he's in his 70s, and I said, what did you say to your daughter? He said, yeah, I just sort of kind of looked at it and said, well, you know, time can do great things. And I said, why didn't you just tell her the truth? And he said, what was the truth? He never cheated on her. He was a cheater. Oh, God. That's part of our problem. We're taking what other people are doing in the world and we take it personally as though it was against us. But listen to me good. And I said this to him. I said, if the man she was married to had been married to your other daughter, he'd have probably did the same thing. If he'd have been married to somebody else's daughter, he'd have did the same thing, which means he didn't cheat on her. He was a cheater.
That's good.
Yes.
Did anybody get this?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
If you somebody comes and tells you something and you find out it's a lie, you can't sit back and say they lied to me. They are liars.
Yep.
You just happen to be the person that was in front of them when they started doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. And we are blamed ourselves for their fucks. I learned that from you too, Apostle.
Hallelujah. Anybody get that part?
Yeah.
You'll get free the minute that you stop carrying somebody else's sin and attributing it to something that you thought you were inadequate at.
Amen.
Something that you think you're in, because when I think you did it to me, it's really me saying to myself, I want to feel inadequate. I want to believe, and it doesn't matter if the person says, hey, well, I did that because you didn't clean up. I did it because you didn't pay any bills. I was working too hard. You weren't putting in the same amount of effort. They want to blame it on me. But you'd have did it even if I did those things.
Amen.
Because what's in your nature is going to surface. You understand? Everybody get that?
Yeah.
So watch here's a good way to remember it. Anybody ever juiced any fruits or vegetables? Anybody ever juiced any?
That's what I do every day.
Mm-hmm.
You juice every day. Praise the Lord. I used to do it quite a bit. All right, watch this. If I put a tomato into a juicer and I put that pressure on that tomato and I turn that thing on high, I'm going to get tomato juice out of it. If I put in an orange and I turn it on very high, I'm going to get orange juice. I put in apple juice, cherry juice. If I put in plum juice, if I put in peach juice. The point of it is you can't get out of something what's not already into something. Anybody listening? You can't cheat if you're not a cheater. And so if anything, you'd have left me, if you were just that distraught with me, you'd have walked away, and then you would have started another life. You wouldn't start another life while you're in my life. So that means that when the pressure came, the juice came out. Anybody listening?
So I have a question. Uh-huh. So if the man commit adultery, you know, she forgive with God forgives them for that.
Even though if a man commits adultery, does God forgive him? Is that the question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. God can forgive anybody of anything if they seek forgiveness.
I'm serious about this, though.
Now, does God forgive the man because he's a man? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Does God forgive the man without the man asking for forgiveness? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Does God want to forgive the man? The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why your Bible says that if we were just faithful to bring our sins before God, God will take our sins and throw them into a sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore. And that's why Jesus said what he said. If you forgive others, your Father in heaven begins to forgive you. We have to let, and I hope and pray that we receive this in the spirit that is being given. If you're holding anything against anybody, let them go.
Amen.
The whole hostility and frustration is like me drinking their poison and expecting them to be the one that dies from it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking poison, but I want to see that. Because I'm the one carrying it. And most people don't even remember they hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You were just on the road of their madness. You weren't the point of their madness. You were just on the road of madness. So when I make my mind up to let all them people go, and this is going back to what Brother Lottie Wilson was saying, when I make my mind up to let them folks go, which is what I'm supposed to do as a believer, I'm supposed to do it. It's not something that God is sitting back saying, well, I hope you'll, you know, forgive everybody. Because it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment, right? Not a recommendation, it is a qualification. Let them folks go. 20 years ago, like that man told me, and she still ain't got over it. And she's not living healthily. His daughter, she wasn't living well. She couldn't do well with her whole life because she's still being held down by the anchor of resentment. Praise the Lord. And so Paul tells us in Romans, hey, there's now no, therefore now no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he knows if you've got any sense at all, you've forgiven other people, and if you've got great wisdom, you've forgiven yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you got any sense, forgive everybody. If you got great wisdom, learn to forgive yourself. Praise the Lord. All right, so now let's go to Romans. We're in the 8th chapter, and let's pick up on verse 11. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, who was my reader? Was it you, Tamar?
Yes.
All right. Verse 11, pick up there.
But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, his spirit.
Somebody making noise.
Yep.
I don't know whose that is.
I'd be here.
Okay, go ahead. I found it.
I'm going to read that again.
Mm-hmm.
But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
For if ye after the flesh, ye shall die.
Mm-hmm.
But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have mm-hmm. not received spirits of bondage again to fear, but ye
mm-hmm.
have received spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit itself mm-hmm. bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, mm-hmm. then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Hallelujah.
For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be in us.
Mm-hmm.
For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Stay right there. Stop right there. Stop right there. Please praise the Lord. I want to talk about that part. Everybody saw verse 19. Sister Clay, God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are in Romans, the 8th chapter. We are on verse 19 at this moment.
I'm following. I'm just driving.
All right. All right. So watch what he says. I'm going to start at 17 and read down to 19. So that we get this, or so that we at least hear it and can discuss it. There's, 16. First off, I think it was one of my sons in the Lord, Latif. He said he was getting ready to minister to somebody today. They were going through some things, they dealing with a divorce and so forth and so on. And he said he was looking for a scripture from God. He knew exactly what he was supposed to say. And then he opened up his phone, and the scripture he was looking for was right there on the phone. That is his spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are his children. Anybody ever opened up the Bible and it fell exactly where you wanted it to fall to, where you needed to hear a word, where you needed to get in?
Yep.
Today, and it just opened right up to where that's him confirming to you who you are. That's why Paul talks about this and makes sure that we get this. He's trying to tell you, you can't be condemning yourself. You can't be walking around just because you made a mistake thinking the mistake is bigger than the relationship. The mistake is not the relationship. The mistake is the mistake. It's part of being human. There's a war going on in my flesh, in my members. There's no good thing. And so every now and then the things that's in there will seep up and try to overrule the things that's inside of my heart and mind about God. And so I make these mistakes. But I got to know that even when I made the mistake, I'm his.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, God. There's witness in my spirit. I am, everybody get it? So that's 16. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are his children, then you're the heirs of God and joint heirs in Christ. If so be that you suffered a little bit with them, that we may also end up being glorified together.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which you will get revealed in you. And that means that your latter is going to be better than your former. You have to just wait for it to show up. It's going to manifest if you just don't let Satan condemn you and hold you down, making you think, something's wrong with me. Why didn't I get delivered like Sally Sue? Why didn't I get delivered like Pastor Joe? Why don't I have the same anointing as Bishop Jakes? Why don't I have the anointing of so-and-so? Why is it that Juanita Bynum can preach like that? And I keep trying, but I can't get it. And God is saying, you quit comparing yourself to other folk and compare yourself to what I'm making out of you. Quit comparing yourself to the things around you. Quit comparing so much. The grass is not always greener. And if it is greener, you need to go check somebody else's water bill. They may have put more money out than you did on the grass. That's all it is.
Amen.
And the more you start spending on your own grass, the greener your grass gets. That's what he's going to tell you. If your children, then your heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering, the thing that you're going through now and the things that you'll go through later, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you when I'm through making you. That's why Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith.
Yeah,
I have
amen.
To accept the fact that I ain't perfect, but I'm moving towards some perfection. He's doing something, even with my mistakes. For the earnest expectation, verse 19, watch the beauty of this. Because the earnest expectation of all the creatures are waiting for God to manifest in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Your dog wants to see Jesus in you. Your cat wants to see Jesus. The birds that are flying around you, they're chirping, but they're also worshiping God because they know you're being formed, you're being shaped.
Amen. Amen.
And some of us just hear birds chirping in the morning. Some of us hear birds worshiping God. It depends on how you live. I hear worship in the morning. I don't just hear chirping. They don't annoy me. I sit back and go, I'm going to worship right with you. Let me open the window up and let me get my praise on with God in the morning, too. But I know you're thanking them for something because you made it through another day.
Yes, Lord. You better believe it.
Is it all right to talk to anybody like this? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And all the creatures are waiting for you to get the point that you are the sons and daughters of God. They're waiting on you to get it. They got it already. Praise the Lord. Right? And then he goes on to say, verse 24, the creature was made subject to vanity, to our mistakes and our issues. We eat them, we beat them, we do all kinds of stuff. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. What's he talking about? He's talking about how Satan has reduced us from faith to hope. Let me try it again. Satan has reduced the world from being in a place of faith to being in a place of hope. I just hope it work out. See, while I'm hoping, I'm hoping. Let me try it again.
All right.
If I'm just hoping, I'm really moping. And I don't know the difference, because I hope it's going to come out right. What I'm really saying is I'm moping. I don't have enough faith to believe and declare it's going to be all right. God said it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
Right? All right, go ahead, Brother Savant. Pick on up, brother, please. Verse 21.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered. I'm sorry. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glory and liberty of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the presence of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we
even
are saved,
we are groaning, waiting for this adoption to take its full place inside of us, and there's full-fledged deliverance taking place. because it's coming. That's what he said. Go ahead.
But we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for?
Mm-hmm.
But if we hope for what for that we see not, then do we with haste wait for it?
Uh-oh.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered.
Uh-huh.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen.
Stay right there for a minute. Did everybody get that?
Yeah.
And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, capital S, meaning you got the Holy Spirit even when you make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the mind of the Spirit? So while you're sitting there saying, God, I'm so sorry I did this, that, you got a Holy Ghost living inside of you that is praying to God to tell God exactly what you need. Even though your words are saying one thing, your spirit is talking to God in a whole different manner. And some of us begin to develop a tongue language out of that. Watch where I'm getting ready to go. And that's why the deeper you go in the spirit, all of a sudden you start speaking languages and utterances that you don't even know what's coming out your mouth no more. Why? Because you're allowing the Spirit to speak for you instead of you trying to figure out how to get God to do something. The Spirit is automatically knowing what to say to God.
Wow.
Amen. Glory. And then he said, watch what he says after this. And when you let yourself go that deep, this is what I'm saying. This is important. Your biggest responsibility as a believer is to recognize that you're in the Spirit, even when you're doing wrong, and just continue to press to get closer to God. And the closer you let yourself get to God through praying, through fasting, get on your knees every morning. I don't care if you don't feel like it or not. I don't care if a storm broke and tore the roof off your house. Get on your knees in the morning. I'm just getting on my knees with a little rain coming in on me, but I'm getting on my knees. Get on your knees every day. Get closer to God. And the closer you get to God, the more the Spirit begins to make utterances to you. And you don't just open up your mouth and say, good morning. It just starts flowing out of you. And you begin to speak in the Spirit. The Spirit begins to express itself. And it begins to reveal life to you in ways that you never saw it before. Because when the Spirit speaks, it speaks to give revelation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir.
When you talk in tongue, God uses tongue language to give you revelation about life that you've never even understood.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, and once you get into that place with him, read the next scripture. Watch what he says. When you get in that place where the Spirit is giving utterance, what does he say next?
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
To them who are
always going to serve.
Amen. When I go that deep, I know everything is going to work out. And we know that all things work to the good to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. And the qualifier is the love, not the calling. So you may not have developed an anointing, you may have developed a ministry out of you yet, but your love has developed to become a guarantee of success in your life. Your love for Him guarantees your success. Your love for Him guarantees your success. Your love for Him guarantees your success. Not how many scriptures you know, not how many churches you've been in, not how well you sang in the choir, not how well you took care of the pastor's stuff.
Your love for Him. Amen.
Your love for Him qualifies you for a successful life.
Yes, Lord. Hey.
Amen.
That's my qualifier. I got to love it. I got to want to be close. I got to want the covenant level relationship.
Yes,
covenant relationship, we were talking about that with men and women. covenant relationship, you don't always understand the person that you're in a covenant relationship with. But if it's a covenant relationship, you don't leave them.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
I don't always understand what God is doing, but I don't leave them. I don't understand what God is saying all the time because I don't hear him clearly every morning. I don't hear him. I know he hears me, but I don't always hear him, but I don't leave him.
Amen.
I don't know why I got sick last week. I don't know why I'm coughing. I don't know why my body is aching, but I ain't going to leave him. And that's the qualification of love. See, I love him so much, I don't care what comes against me because I know greater is he that's in me. And I don't have to worry about the thing for too long. It might get me for a minute. It may make me wonder for a second. But after I wonder, I am not wondering anymore. I am not wandering. I'm still moving toward the mark.
I got a question.
I think
yes, sir.
Problem. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Did you hear me? I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Holy Spirit, the utterance that the Holy Spirit makes, and it's evidenced by the speaking in tongues. Well, is there any point where that could stop, where that would stop that connection, where the Holy Spirit is praying to God with you and from and within you, where it would stop? And I'm asking that because at one point in my life, I did speak in tongues a lot, you know, and now I haven't spoken in tongues in a very, very, very long time. And so I'm thinking that maybe the Holy Spirit, because, you know, if you can't return to a house that's so damaged, you know, he just won't live there.
That's true.
If it is a situation where the Holy Spirit no longer resides here, when I thought I was in a backslidden state, maybe I was just in a abandoned state from God. What did the scripture say? If you continue to do this, I will laugh at when your calamity comes, and then he would turn his back on you. At that point, and that's when the utterances and the speaking in tongues would stop. And I haven't been. I mean, I try, but it ain't. I can't just make up some words and stuff like that. I just need that.
No, you don't have to. And I think it's going to be answered in the next couple of verses. But go ahead, Brother Tabak. Before we, he's going to answer that question. Watch. Go ahead, Tabak.
I was just going to say, when you were talking about a person being sick or having or pain, whatever the case may be, but there's something that shouldn't be there, I believe that it goes back to the mind, the way we think. In verse, it says, to be eternally minded is death. And a lot of times we accept what we have by what we feel. Just because we feel the pain, we receive it and we accept it. But the spiritual mind says, I'm not sick, because we don't go by what we're feeling. We don't own it. If a bird dropped down and landed on my head, I wouldn't say I have a bird. I don't own that bird that just dropped and landed on my head. I feel it on my head, but I don't have a bird. So that's just an example of how we get sick with something, disease of some sort, and we claim the thing. And that's what we take ownership of it, and that's what it means. Win. So I think it's all about the thinking and knowing that we are in Christ, and I stay in the Spirit. And the Spirit, if we really think about the verse that says, "And if children of God, then heirs of God." And joint heirs with Christ. So to know what a heir is, and it didn't say co-heir with Christ, it said joint heir. So the same thing Christ has, we have. Do we understand how powerful that is? The same spirit that raised Christ from death lives in me. Talked about a cough.
Hallelujah.
So these things are, it don't really add up if we truly understand what's going, what's really going on, and what we really have. We don't have a cough. That may be a test. But the thinking is where the victory comes in at. Not even thinking, but knowing. I want to take it to say to know it, not just think it, but know it and believe it in our hearts. There's no truth. It's set up for us to win. Now, as far as that speaking in tongues has ceased, I can't answer that, Pastor, because
Brother, you were explaining that really good. He did. Yeah. Brother Teron just explained that way better than I would have said it, and that's exactly what it is. You know, we do it to ourselves. We condemn ourselves. The Holy Spirit is there. You know what I'm saying? But you're not thinking of the Holy Spirit when you're thinking carnally and stuff like that. You got to get yourself together. And once that you get yourself together, and you know with yourself together, because it'll just flow out of you. You know what I mean? Because I can feel it too when the Holy Spirit don't be like right there. Like, no, you in your flesh right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, give it to the Holy Spirit. And when you get into the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying? You can feel it flowing through you. Like, it's like a vibration. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, you ain't even got to say nothing. You know?
I can tell you. I can kind of explain it. Let me try to explain it a little bit. So, for the most part, and this is what happened to me just the other day. I'm confessing this. The other day, okay, normally when I go around certain people, I try and stay in the spirit because I know that these people sometimes can push you off your level because of the way they talk and because of the things they do. So this particular time, I was going to stay home. It was on Sunday. I was going to stay home and stay in my pajamas, but I was called out because I'm just going to tell you guys, my brother-in-law, he has a little bit of dementia, okay? The Holy Spirit led me to him as a mission. So this is he became my mission because of my, I call him ex-husband, but I'm still legally married. But anyway, we haven't been together for like 15, almost 20 years, say like that. But he called me and he asked me if you can please help me with my brother. I don't know what to do. He's getting worse and worse, so I need your help. Can you tell me, help me? So it became my mission to help him. I had to get his brother into like a clinical setting. I had to get his brother the medical attention he started needing. Had to get him somewhere. Nevertheless, I'm not going to say what all we did because it wasn't about me. I ain't taking no glory. I give it all back to Christ. His brother started, and his dementia seemed like he was getting worse and worse. And so he has another nurse that he normally go visit. He just showed up to this place unannounced, and he was wandering in a parking lot. And the nurse called me and said, did you know he was here? No one knew he was there. No one even knew he was out of the house. He had did it a few times, and a third time the police had to be called because no one knew where he went. Thought he could have walked into the river or got hit by a bus or anything because of his dementia. So they decided to take him. They asked me if we should take him to a doctor and see, you know, what was going on. We thought he had a UTI. The man wound up having to have, and this is where I've been these last few weeks, he wound up having a massive brain bleed. So he needed emergency brain surgery. He did not have POA, which I had been trying to press the family for like 2-3 months now to sign a POA. Let's get them done. Let's get them taken care of. So when stuff happens, you guys can just step up and talk. That did not happen. So now a lot of other things happened with that. Nevertheless, he wound up getting the surgery he needed. By the time they're calling it and they're trying to find out who to ask, you know, for permission to give him this surgery, it winded up on my shoulders. I'm just a sister-in-law, pretty much way down the road. He had kids and everything. No one was there. I called him. Give him a surgery because now his mouth is starting to go sideways. He's threatening a stroke. Let's do it, you know. His brothers agreed, okay, let's do it. He's living and he's doing well. However, long story short, he's doing better. They're still looking. When you say, it happened to me too, and I heard the brother say, you know, if you own these things, they become yours. So I've been speaking stroke and brain clot, you know, I've been rebuking them in the name of Jesus so that he don't have to have a second surgery, which they're talking about. And I know that it worked for a fact because when my doctor came to me and told me, you have cancer, and I told him, the devil is a liar. My God ain't say I had no cancer. Amen. Cancer has not been in my system. It has not been back, spoke up on me again since then. So you can definitely disown that thing and discredit it and stand on faith, and it will not take you. So I am
with
you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies.
Amen.
Quicken, make alive again. It's a belief thing. It's a known thing.
It is a faith thing.
Christ says you must believe in me with your heart. Not only confess it with your mouth, but believe it in your heart. And this thing is real.
Yeah,
it's so real.
It's real.
Brother Tavon, go back to verse 27, because that's the important part. And this is going to answer your question too, Leo. Then we're going to read right through. But I want you to just follow the subject matter, right? Listen at 27.
Mm-hmm.
Go
and
ahead,
he
Tavon.
That searcheth, and he
so what?
That searcheth
the heart.
He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Big ass Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he that searches the heart knows what is
mm-hmm.
the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Intercession.
And
now,
we
now
know,
what I want you to say, Leo. Let's stay right there for a second. Brother Leo,
okay.
Your spirit, you need to let it be reconnected to your God. That's what condemnation, that's why I brought all of this up. That's what condemnation is meant to do. See, if you say, watch what I'm getting ready to say. If you say, and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master, and Savior, and you've done you've not really done anything to avert the fact that you're going to heaven. Satan knows he can't steal heaven from you. But
mm-hmm.
Satan knows how to make you steal heaven from yourself.
Okay.
He knows how to make you walk away. That's what I was talking about before. And so God knows what's in the heart. He searches your heart. And you're not talking in tongue because of where your mind is. It's not where God is.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
It's where my mind is. And if I'm walking around condemning myself, it is hard for me to move out of condemnation into glorification. It is very difficult to move from condemnation into glorification. Glorification is when I am exalting God and everything. I get up in the morning, thank him for the air that I breathe. I get up in the morning, thanking him for my family. But watch what I'm going to say. The minute I can let my family and I start allowing the attacks of Satan and my family gets on my nerves, I stop thanking God for my family. I start complaining to God about the family. That's condemnation.
Amen. Amen.
That is the spirit of condemnation seeping through me. Because I'm supposed to wake up grateful in all things. The very fact that today is a day that it can get better, I should have something to be glorifying God for. You follow where I'm going? So he searches my heart. He searches my thoughts. Even as I'm praying and saying, okay, I want to speak in tongue, but it doesn't seem to be coming out. That's because it's not supposed to come out. It's supposed to flow out.
Yes.
It should be coming so natural, but it cannot come out unless I'm in a place of absolute gratitude toward God. Tongue language, starts with gratitude. It starts with seeing what he's done. It starts with looking back over my life and saying, God, if it had been for you, oh, God. And it becomes an overwhelming thing of the Spirit, because the Spirit gets closer and closer to God the more I go back and search out gratitude and use gratitude to waylay all attitude. Gratitude is meant to kill my attitude. It's meant to take away all the things that seem to be vexing my spirit. Gratitude allows me to see the good things inside of them. And then we know all things work to the good, to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. It's me knowing something, somehow this is working in my favor. But now let's watch the other part, because we sometimes are holding ourselves down.
Yes.
It ain't Satan. Yes.
Amen.
It's us. Mm-hmm. Right? Watch what he says. Let's go ahead and read through the rest of this real quick, Brother Tavon, please.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Watch what he says next.
He did foreknow.
He already knew.
He also did predestinate to be.
He already made concessions.
To the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Ooh. Did everybody see that? See, condemnation will keep me from being used by God to save the people around me. You're supposed to be the first of many souls to be saved when he calls you. And condemnation is meant to keep you from being that first, to walk in this thing and stay in the Spirit and know that you're in the Spirit, love the Lord, know how to make a mistake, know how to ask for forgiveness, know how to make amends, know how to move forward, move beyond that thing, stay in the Spirit, allow my Spirit to flow in God, and people will get saved because of that. Because they'll see you are really, really a man of God. Why? Not because you're perfect, but because you know how to handle your imperfections.
Yes, Lord.
Now I know you're a man. Yes.
Amen.
I saw you fall, but I watched you get up. I saw you make a mistake, but I watched you fess up. I saw you slip up, but I watched you get up. I saw all of those things, and I now know I'm dealing with a man of God. And your tongue language will come back.
Mm-hmm.
It'll flow like water.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's keep going. Amen. Everybody get it?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because whom he foreknew.
Amen.
Your Bible, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, he knew us before we entered into our mother's womb. If you knew that you were called from heaven to the earth, to come back to heaven when you finish your journey on earth, you know something more about yourself than most people know about themselves. I ain't just appear here because of a sperm cell and an egg. I appeared here because God selected me from someplace in a spiritual realm and said, I'm going to put you in here for you to sojourn, to learn, to go through what you go through. But when I call you, I'm going to call you for a specific purpose and reason, and you're going to need to find that reason because all I can do is call you. You got to pick up your own phone. Anyway. I can call you, but if you don't answer the phone, that's your problem.
You assume.
Hallelujah, somebody. So moreover, whom he foreknew, he also predestined, meaning some of this mess I was supposed to go through. It was already predestined to be so that I would be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. That I finally get at some point, the light bulb comes on, the revelation hits me, and I go, oh, my God, we're all sick and have fallen short of the glory. Now I know how to be sick, so I can have other people find the glory. Because, God, help me, somebody. And then it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified you. And whom he justified, them he also will glorify. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What shall we say to you? to these things. Look at this, Paul. What should we say to all this? Man, this is a head full. Let me simplify. If God is for us, who can be against
us? Amen. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for me, how shall he not, with that deliverance, also freely give me all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies me. Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ, God? Yea, rather that is risen again, because it wasn't his death that was important, it was his resurrection. But there's no thing that will take you down that you can't get up from. That is the point.
Yeah.
There's no relationship you've ever been in that can keep you from getting up. It's a choice. There's no job or lack of money or how much money that can take you down that you can't get up from. That's why he goes back to make sure we get this. Is it Christ that died? No, it's the Christ that was risen. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He also makes intercession. He's praying for me. Oh, I wish we just get that part. If you don't catch anything else that was said tonight, if you don't remember anything else in the morning, remember that part. Who sits at the right hand of God making intercession for me.
Amen.
He's praying for me.
Yes.
He's praying for you. God, don't hold that against him. Oh, God, give him back his tongue language. Oh, God, give him this. Put him back on his feet. The job they took, give him a prayer for it. Interceding for each and every one of us. Night and day, because you know he doesn't sleep or slumber. We all know that, right? We like he's sleeping while we're sleeping. He's praying while we're sleeping. Then he goes on to say in verse 35, now that you know this, he shall separate us from the mother child. Your tribulation or your distress.
Hey, in case anybody's wondering, if you have your phone on speaker, that makes an echo.
Yeah, if everyone can mute real quick. Who shall praise the Lord? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or even famine or nakedness or peril or even a sword? That's violence. As it is written, for thy sake, we even killed all the day long. Don't forget, Paul is in Rome. He's dealing with the Roman soldiers. He's dealing with the Colosseum. He's dealing with a time and a day and an age where they're killing Christians for sport. And he's trying to encourage them. It ain't going to matter what you go through, because it ain't going to touch the glory that you're going to receive after you've been through it. God is praying for you. Oh, thank you, Father.
God is
good.
For God's sake, we are killed even all the day long. And we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But no, in all these things, we're still more than conquerors through him that loves us. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me.
Amen, amen.
But that's I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, those are satanic beings, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that's going to be sent at me in the future. That's why he said no weapon formed against you will prosper. That's why he said even the stuff coming in your future is going to look bad, but it ain't going to get over. It can't win. Even death. As his people, you have to learn to not be afraid of it. Because that's why Paul gave us to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Not because he was stupid and didn't enjoy his life. He wanted us to know that because he was saying, don't even let life supersede the concept of being close to God. Because if you get over that fear, Satan ain't going to never have anything on you.
Nope.
When you get beyond that place, Satan will find that there's no place in you that he can work against.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever there's a fear, it's a doorway for Satan to run roughshod in my life. Wherever there's a fear, mm-hmm. if I'm scared of how people see me, that becomes mm-hmm. a stronghold. If I'm scared of what people think, that mm-hmm. becomes a stronghold for Satan. If I'm scared that my past is too big for my God's future, that becomes a stronghold. And he's mm-hmm. saying, ain't none of that separating us from the love of God. Mm-hmm. He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's advocating for me. He's sitting right mm-hmm. next to the Father saying, yeah, I know we got a whole lot of people to pray for, but today I'm praying for, I'm going to pray for Sister Donna. tomorrow, I'm praying for Sister Ruby Clay. Oh, but you know what? I forgot. I also got Brother Tavon Waller on my mind today. You know, oh by God, Brother DeJuan Hubert, he's on my mind today, right? Mm-hmm. I got Brother Arnold Evans. He's praying for us
every day.
Every day, and if you don't have any other weapon in your arsenal to fight Satan, every time you get attacked, just say the Lord is praying for me.
Yes. That's a blessing.
He loves me enough to pray for me. Praise the Lord. All right, last scripture. I think he says, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature on this planet shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, somebody. I hope
amen.
And pray.
Amen.
I hope and pray that
amen.
You receive
yeah.
We can be again next week when we come mm-hmm. back. But be encouraged. There is no condemnation mm-hmm. unto them that are in Christ Jesus. If I'm not willfully out doing wrong and I make a mistake, I need to realize that mistake is just a mistake. Let me try to make amends. Let me ask for forgiveness. It's a character builder to be able to ask for forgiveness. It's not a weakness of character. It is a character builder
mm-hmm.
to honor people. It's a character builder to know how to be kind to people. It builds character. Mm-hmm. It doesn't destroy our character.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we're willing to be those people, the closer you'll stay to God and the more mm-hmm. difficult it'll be for the enemy to ever have you turn around.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise mm-hmm. the Lord. Any
amen.
Closing thoughts before we end in prayer?
Oh, I got something to say, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I was sitting outside with my roommate, and I was mm-hmm. hearing birds chirping. Yep.
They worshiping.
They're worshiping birds.
They worshiping birds. Come on now.
Yeah, they were. Right. They were. Yep.
Yeah, listen carefully in the morning when you get up sometimes.
Yep, I will.
You'll hear some things going up.
Yes.
Any other closing thoughts? Thank you, DeJuan. Any other closing thoughts?
No, sir, but it was definitely a great, like always, you know, definitely, you know, a lot more revelation. You know, I always like coming to the Bible studies and you know, teaching because it's always so real. Genuine, and it is the word of God, and you can feel it, you know. Just like what you were saying, just what I was just saying, encourage, man, and, you know, and when you fall and get back up, that's all, though, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, well said. When you fall and get back up, it's just a mistake. It's not a character deficiency. It's not a moral deficiency. It's a mistake. It was a moral deficiency when we were in the world. No, it's a mistake. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Sister Ruby, close it off.
No, I don't have any final thoughts. So I enjoy that's all.
Praise the Lord. All right.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I missed everything, but I feel like I'm still right on time. I was getting some mm-hmm. help for KJ. Jumped on as soon as I could, but I'm right on time because prayer is about to take place. So,
yes,
amen.
Ma'am.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. And we love you and we thank you for being here, Awana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
thank you. I love you.
Yeah.
such an awesome young woman of God. Virginia,
no, I just enjoy listening. I can't really talk because I got my tooth pulled and, you know, a little in pain, but I enjoyed listening today. It helped me a lot.
Mm. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Hey, Pastor Moreau.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to add, too, I just want to say thank you for everybody that's on here because I find it very interesting. I know it's God, but every time I get on the phone with all of you, you know, maybe some new people or some people that I've talked to before, hearing all you guys throughout my life and, like, you know, my daily struggles and all the questions that I ask myself, it's, I find it very interesting that all the things that you guys go through, not only does it help you guys, it also answers all my questions, too. So I thank you guys for sharing and your testimonies because those testimones also help me.
Hallelujah.
That was very, very well said, Latif. We're helping each other.
Yeah.
We are helping each other. That's the reason of being a Bible study. If there's no other reason, even if all you said tonight was praise the Lord, it blessed
me. I have a closing thought.
Go ahead, man.
This is Brother Leo. From the beginning of the study, I was just connected right in with everything. But I don't regret anything I've been through, or because it's brought me to this mindset now that I'm just there's no other way to live my life or God's life now except with Him. And if I could go through everything I've been through 10 more times, I would do it just to be at this point, this mindset that I am now. And it's a peaceful mindset. Everything ain't perfect, but I'm content with that not being perfect right now. I mean, I'm just in a state of contentment, a mind of contentment with God. And so I thank God for everything He brought my way in my life, or that I brought in myself in my life.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, this is a powerful Bible study tonight. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is powerful. This is powerful. God is good. Very
yes,
good.
He is at all times.
Sister Donna, close it off.
I just thank God for getting me too to this point and bringing me back to the line after a couple weeks of being off running. I got to get a break this time, so I'm here. You guys just keep me up in prayer, knowing that I'm taking care of someone else's business besides my own, and I'm doing God's business in the process. So just keep me up in prayer. Strengthen your stretch your hands out toward Kankakee. I'm down here in the South, y'all. When you think about it, just stretch your hand out and send me some energy down here, some blessings and some prayers. And I'll be praying for everybody else. Amen.
Thank you, my sister. I'm going to Sister Juanda. I would call on you to close us in prayer, but I sense something in your spirit. And what I sense in your spirit is that you've had a battle that you've had to deal with. And so we just rebuke the devil over your life. We rebuke him right now. We stand together. The Bible says, if any two of you touch me, I'll do what you ask. I'll do it for you. And so we're rebuking him now as a body. New Covenant Church of Christ, if you're with me, just say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We tell him to get his hands off God's anointing.
I receive it.
Off God's anointing. We don't just decree it and declare it. We stand with a living God who is right now advocating for it and say we touch and agree with the Master that we need to be something worthy of a testimony when it's all said and done. Father, we thank you as we get ready to close out tonight. We just love you. We glorify you. We thank you that we work to the good because they love you to call according to your purpose. We thank you that you have not forgotten about us. We thank you that no matter what we're in the world, we are kingdom citizens. Let the world be what the world does. We came to be part of the kingdom. We have a kingdom relationship. We have a master that
says, whatever he says is going to happen is going to happen in my life. And so if you said we're going to have peace that the world cannot take, we're going to have peace. When you said we're going to have a joy,
I receive it, I receive it. Hallelujah.
When you said we're going to prosper and be in good health as our souls will prosper, we're coming into our prosperity. When you said that all things work to the good of him, we're coming to the good. We're not focusing in on what the enemy says. We don't need to hope in what we can see. We hope, our hope is in that thing that we cannot see. And that is your word doing an eternal word for the good to manifest according to your desires. Blessed. These are your people.
Hallelujah.
It's your responsibility to help you, but it's your responsibility to reach them. It's your responsibility to bring the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. It's your responsibility. I've done my job tonight, oh God. I'm asking you to do this so that we can come together again next week. There will be testimonies. There will be
meet the needs of your children. Hallelujah.
There will be a movement. There will be talking and language change. There will be all sorts of miracles. God, we're asking you to do this.
For your glory. For your glory. For your glory.
And help us to get closer and closer daily until there's nothing left of us and everything is of us. We thank you for the platform you've given us. We thank you and glorify you. And we ask that you drop a special blessing on our seed and our seed. Our children need you.
Yeah. Hey, mama. Yes,
so bad.
And we'll be careful and cautious to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that you richly deserve. In Jesus' name. Somebody say
amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And we will see you all next week.
Good night, y'all. Good night. February 2.